Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as most of you who are regular listeners to this broadcast already know. And we've come to a section in this chapter where Paul is making practical arguments for the doctrine of bodily resurrection. Having started with a declaration of the gospel itself, which includes Christ's resurrection from the dead as the first fruits of the resurrection of believers, he moves on to theological arguments in verses 13 through 19 and doctrinal declarations in verses 20 through 28, and now practical arguments in verses 29 through 34. The first of which was an appeal to baptism. Why are people baptized in the likeness of Christ's death and resurrection, which is typified in baptism? Why are people baptized if there is no resurrection from the dead? If there's no connection between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of believers, then why are people baptized, particularly in this way that typifies death and resurrection? After that, he appeals to examples of sacrifice. A general example, why are believers in general, or why are missionaries and gospel workers in general willing to jeopardize their lives for the sake of Christ if there's no resurrection from the dead? Why am I willing to jeopardize my life? I die daily. Why am I willing to do that if there is no resurrection from the dead? Why have I been willing to fight wild beasts at Ephesus, he says in verse 32, if there is no resurrection from the dead? And these are practical examples of what Christians are willing to do for the sake of Christ because they believe in a future life, they believe in resurrection from the dead. And if that is not true, then why are they willing to make such extreme sacrifices for the cause of Christ, willing to lay down their lives for Christ? It's because it's in anticipation that they will be raised from the dead, as was Christ. But now we're going to come to the final practical exhortation, the final practical arguments, rather, which are motives for godliness in verses 33 and 34. And we'll take that up on this Wednesday, June 22, as you have joined us and as some of you have supported us and therefore make it possible for us to air this broadcast on this station. Well, verse 33 is a warning, and verse 34 is an exhortation in the first part of the verse, and then a reason in the last part of the verse. But what is the warning? Verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good manners. And here's a warning about the danger of deception. We are easily deceived. Do you believe that? Do you believe that for yourself? It's sometimes easy to believe that for others. I can see how easily other people are deceived, but I'm not easily deceived. Don't be so proud, because when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. It's when you are secure in your own powers, your own resolve, your own commitments, like Peter, who would never, never deny Christ, but of course he did. And so here's this warning, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The Old King James says, good manners. The danger of deception. We are easily deceived, and therefore there is the danger of corruption. If we are deceived, then we are corrupt. Bad company corrupts. My version says good habits, but one other translation says bad company corrupts good character. And here's what Paul is saying. Listening to false teaching will corrupt your mind. And fellowshipping with sinning Christians will erode your commitment to godliness. That's what he's saying. Understand that. Believe that. And act accordingly. Take this danger seriously. Listening to false teachers will corrupt your mind. Why, therefore, do some of you listen to teachers you know to be false teachers, but some of you just enjoy it. It's kind of entertaining. You find some kind of satisfaction in listening to it. Sometimes I think to prove that you can discern the errors and you can parade your knowledge of what some of these false teachers teach and so forth. Well, dear friends, there is danger in what you're doing, because listening to false teachers can corrupt your mind and can do so when you least think it will. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character. So listening to false teaching can and probably will, at least in some respects, corrupt your own mind, corrupt your own understanding of truth. Be careful. And fellowshipping with sinful Christians will erode your commitment to godliness. So that's a warning. Followed, therefore, by this exhortation in verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Wake up. Get out of your slumber. Get out of your corruption. Get out of your deceit. Come back to your senses. Stop listening to false teachers and stop sinning. Stop following the practices of sinning individuals who are leading you into sin. Don't go on sinning. Don't go on missing the mark that God has laid out for you in His Word. So don't do that. Don't do that by entertaining false doctrine. Don't do that by engaging in sinful practices. One sin slides easily into another and then another. That's the way it works. Mend your ways. Live what you say you believe. That's the exhortation. And here's the reason in the last part of verse 34. It says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for, here's the reason, because some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some do not have the knowledge of God. And that is evidently a reference to some in the Corinthian church who don't have the knowledge of God. Now, what is Paul saying? Is he saying there are some in the Corinthian church who, though they profess to be Christians, are not genuine Christians? Evidently, that's what he's saying, and he's saying this represents failure by the church in general. I speak this to your shame. Such people should be corrected in their unbelief, in their belief of false doctrine that you are allowing them to go on in, or removed from the church. It very likely is a reference to those who are denying the bodily resurrection of believers. The point of this is this. The doctrine of bodily resurrection is a strong motive for godly living. And wrong doctrine encourages wrong behavior, whereas strong, sound doctrine promotes sound behavior. Some Christians, some churches, some preachers think the best way to keep people from sinning is to hammer away all the time on do not sin, and talking about all the different kinds of sins, and don't do this and don't do that. And there's a place for that. It's not that that sort of thing should never be mentioned. If you're true to the Word of God, if you teach all the Word of God, you'll come to lists of sins, and those have to be dealt with when you come to them. But what Paul is saying is the best way to fortify believers against sinning, either in false doctrine, which is a sin, to believe a doctrine which is contrary to the Word of God is a sin. It's unbelief. It's believing something contrary to Scripture. It's rejecting the truth that God has given and embracing something that is false in its place. That's a sin. And there are sinful practices which are contrary to the Word of God. And it is sound doctrine regularly proclaimed and regularly received that will best fortify you against that. That fortifies you against believing false doctrine, and that fortifies you against being deceived by sin, because the truth will purify you, it will cleanse you, it will strengthen you, it will fortify you. But absence of truth, not to mention teaching false doctrine, but even in churches that believe the truth but don't spend much time teaching it, declaring it, emphasizing it, that's not the emphasis. Other things are the emphasis. That kind of church doesn't fortify people against false doctrine and careless, sinful living. And the doctrine of the resurrection, which is the one he's dealing with in this chapter, is a strong motive for godliness. If you know that there's a resurrection, and in your resurrected body, you're going to stand before God, that's a motive for godliness. If you know there's a future resurrection, and there is a glorious life beyond the grave in your glorified resurrection body, that's a motive for godliness. So, wrong doctrine, false doctrine, encourages wrong behavior, and strong doctrine promotes sound behavior. Well, what have we learned all together in this section on practical arguments for the bodily resurrection? Earlier in this section, not on the broadcast today, but prior to today, we learn the necessity of sacrificial labor. The kingdom of God requires sacrificial labor as it makes its advances. Why would that be so if God is sovereign? Because this is the way God has designed it. He is honored in his people being willing to sacrifice themselves for Christ, for the gospel, for the honor of Christ. That brings him glory. And it is in the midst of that kind of willing and determined sacrifice that the kingdom of Christ makes its greatest advances. We therefore must be willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. And the benefits of sacrificial labor are not always seen in the short term, but they are guaranteed to be recognized at the day of Christ's return. But beware of corrupting influences. As a general principle, beware of all corrupting influences, but especially in regard to professing Christians. You must break associations with some people if they will not leave their false doctrine that they believe and stubbornly will not let loose of, and if they continue in sinful practices that they will not correct, then you are going to have to avoid them for your own well-being and for the good of the church. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.